My name's Jake. I've been a part of this. Got a tail. I've been a part of this community for like 7 years now, and that's a crazy thing to say out loud. You guys probably think I have scabies. I'm just trying to get situated. And so I started at the well when I actually, the first well I went to was a summer well. It was awesome. I came in. I didn't know anyone, but it was cool to kind of come over the summer, because then when I came in the fall, I already kind of knew some people, and everyone was like, oh, I was also like a transfer, so there was a bunch of stuff going on. Boom. 7 years later, here I am. So I'm stoked to be with you all tonight. Generally stole the thunder. I was going to say something funny and clap for Sadie, but her and Josh are engaged. No. Crickets was fine. That's good. Okay. Great job, Josh. So, yeah, keep clapping. That's good. We're proud of you. Okay, I'll say this. Dude, I might switch to that handheld in a second. I'm having a moment. Let me try it. If I start talking with my hands too much, though, then forgive me. Get off me, thing. Yeah, this is way better already. I'm proud of my decision making. I've introduced myself before as PG-13 at best, so I'm going to really try to pull it together. I was doing this thing to prepare for the sermon where I was driving to Chattanooga this past week, and I was in the car by myself for like 8 hours, so naturally, like a sane person, and I just gave sermons into my voice memos the whole time, then played them back and tried to revise things. But there's like one really good take where I was saying some good stuff, I thought, self-proclaimed good stuff. And then I just let out like the most extreme road rage ever. I'm just like, I'm not even like pretend, because I might get angry again and just start screaming the F word. And that's what happened. And I was just like, oh my goodness. I have to just delete anything that came after that can only be sinful. So I just got rid of the whole memo. But no, seriously, I'm excited to be here. It's a blessing to talk tonight. And I'll give you this forward as well about myself. Sometimes people who know me well might just shake their heads at this, but I really have to like latch myself to like a metaphorical concept that I'm gonna tease a bunch of stuff out of that concept, and the whole time it's gonna make sense to me. But in the back of your mind, you might be thinking like, dude, I don't understand literally words that you're saying, let alone the concept you're trying to present. So bear with me. I promise you, I'm going to try to, in the words of Sadie, land the plane eventually. She said, quicker than, we'll be here for a little bit, you know, like 70 minutes. Who said, holy crap, go home. I'm just kidding. Please stay. Okay, so tonight, focus, people. Okay, I'm going to start us in scripture because that's a great place to start. That way, if I ramble too much or wander too much, we'll at least be rooted in this. So tonight, there are two verses in specific that I'd really like to get into. I'm going to briefly break them down, but like the point of them is to just introduce concepts. Please do not judge me on like, I think your theology's off. It might be, but I like the words. Come on, people, let's go. So verse 1 that we'll be looking at tonight is from Matthew. It's in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Sweet. Thank you, Sadie. I love the background. She made my slides for me. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 reads, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We're going to keep this up here for a second. So there's a couple things that I just like, again, briefly want to break down just to lay the foundation of what I'm working with here. Welcome to the brain of Jake. Watch out. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I love that he opens this. That's an invitation, okay? So he is recognizing if you are out there weary and burdened or ever have been or ever might be, come to me. Open invitation, right? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. This was like tripping me up this week. He's like, come to me, join my party. It's an invitation. And when you get there, take this thing. And I'm like, what? That's not how parties work. You don't give me your yoke. Like, I want mine off me. But I think he's trying to swap them here. I think he's saying, come to me. Let's trade what you've got going on in your life. I'll take yours. You take mine. My yoke just so happens to be easy, and my burden is light. So in this verse, again, we're going to anchor ourselves here tonight. God invites us in. So he says, come to me. That's super cool. The God that we just like sang and worshiped to, the creator of the universe, God, capital G God,
big guy in the sky God, invites us to a party with him real quick, recognizing that at times we might be weary and burdened. Okay, sweet. So that's Matthew 11. I'm going to jump to another verse really quick. It's from Philippians. That's the start of the verse. That's the, like the come to me all who are weary. That's the introduction to the party. And then I think this verse really pairs well, again, primarily in language, breaking the fact that it's different authors, different times, different people. I get that, but we're going here anyways. Philippians 4:4-7 reads, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ." I absolutely love this verse. I think it's so cool. For a number of reasons, I'm a dude that operates on a very high level of joy, usually. And so I'm constantly like, yes, do it, yay, hooray, I want to rejoice, right? But we're tethered, we're tied to immediately like, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice, like the Lord is near, okay? And then it says, like, do not be anxious about anything. And all of a sudden I'm like, what, anything? Like, I can rejoice in the rejoiceful things, but, and then it gets harder even, like, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And so I'm like, okay, I have to filter my joy in all things through God. But in doing so, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, that's a simple phrase to digest, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Sweet. There's a lot going on there, but again, I want to ground us in these things. God invites us in. Come to me, all who you are weary. My burden is like, my yoke is easy. Okay? And then he says, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Okay, so I'm going to pray really quick, and then I'm going to dive us into some weird story that has nothing to do with those, and we'll come back to them later. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being in this space tonight. God, we invite you in your infinite wisdom, in your love, and in your truth to invade this space, invade our hearts tonight. God, we're excited for the things that you want to share, the things you want to say, and the feelings that will transform our hearts to look more like yours. God, we are excited to be walking with you. We're excited to be on this journey with you. Thank you for the invitation to spend some time with you tonight. In your holy and precious name, amen. Sweet. So, like I said, I want to really take these as the foundation, this invitation, this declaration to rejoice in the Lord always. I'm going to talk a lot about emotions for a little bit, the entirety of the emotional spectrum probably. We might laugh, we might cry. I don't know. If there's road rage in the room, you can let it out. I've been there. Someone just started screaming the F word right now. I'm like, whoa! No. That's about it. So, in October, perfect, I got the notes, I'm good. I shouldn't have even brought these. They're distracting. In October 2017, a dear friend of mine, she was running her first marathon. I forget why I was in Columbus anyways, but it worked out really well because I got to go spectate. It was sweet, okay? I didn't, side note, like, I was in band in high school. No, there's nothing wrong with that. That already sounds bad. Like, as if any of you were already judging me, I just felt the need to like defend myself before you threw things. But I'll tell you what, the people that show up to cheer you on to play your trombone well don't come with the signs and the hype that people do for marathons. So I was there and I was like, this is what I was missing out all along. I was out there marching band and people were out doing this and their parents were like body painting and bounce houses and confetti, right? I was like, geez. But as a person who is like drawn to and arguably like addicted to Stoke, I was just in my zone. I was like, wow, there were fireworks at 4:30 in the morning. And it's just like, I don't know. Why am I awake? Why are there fireworks? I love it. It was perfect. Okay. And so, naturally, what did I do? I was like, ooh, now I'm a runner. I just owned it. Like, I'm going to do this just because I want people to cheer for me. That might be selfish and vain, but like, I thought it was cool. So, as any rational human would, I was inspired by that marathon thing, and I just kind of tucked it away. Like a couple months later, not even, like 2 weeks later, time is funny, I was on a hike with Spencer. He's here sometimes. at the time, his wife Caitlin was pregnant with my little baby Andy. He's a real child now. No, not mine, right? Thank God Spencer's not here. She was pregnant with her husband's child, soon to be. Ugh. Yikes. We're going to have to cut that one out because Spencer will surely listen to this. No. Caitlin had... Screw it. She was pregnant. She couldn't walk, okay? And so we had gone on this hike and we were super far from the car. And Spencer had heard me talking about this running thing and he was like, it's fine. And then he volunteered me to run back to the car for his pregnant wife, okay? But that sounds weird now because I'm doing her favors, whatever. Okay. Anyway, I'm moving past that. Screw this. The notes are bad. Anyway, so I started trail running. We're going to keep going here. And, that was really a sidebar for me. I'm going to shake that one off. I started trail running. And so because rational thoughts seemed to come to me, I started with like a short trail run. And then I did like a trail 5K. And then a couple weeks later, I was like, oh, I'm going to do something longer, a 10K. And then like, I decided then at that point in time, I was like, 2018, Moss is becoming a runner. He's doing the thing. So on January 1st, after a friend's wedding, I got in a car, came home, and I ran a trail half marathon. Originally, that was like going to be my goal for the entirety of 2018. But my friend Chris, he refers to himself, he says neither of us are de-escalators. So I was like, you want to go on a run? He's like, yeah, sure, I'll go on a run. And I was like, let's do a quick one. He's like, let's do a not so quick one. And I said, sure. Before you know it, we ran this half marathon. And so naturally, the year of 2018, then instead of just getting into running, I got into ultra running. I promise you all, this is going somewhere spiritual, okay? And so I ran a trail marathon and then a 50K, okay? So ultra running is any distance over a marathon. And then even still this year now, I thought it was just going to be like a quick year of running, but it really got into my soul somewhere. And so now I'm training for a 100-mile race. It's super cool. It's super fun. Trail running for me has really like infected my soul in a cool way, a way I haven't really felt before. And... So yeah, the crazy thing about running 100 miles or these ultra distances is like that's some people like get rid of the outliers. The coolest thing about that for me anyways, there's a lot of cool things like running 100 miles in it of itself is cool, but you get to do that with a lot of people. The touch points to that, to make that a reality for me, I felt so blessed. Like it goes pretty far. So the running people that support you are called your support crew. Okay, you tracking with me so far? These people are awesome. So in trail running, Chris, as I mentioned before, he's like really kind of been my crew chief through this little experiment I've called running. And it's super cool. So best thing about ultra running, step number one, snacks. Amen. Like that's a sermon, people. You want to eat a donut every day and not feel guilty? Do it. Just train for 100-mile races and you can eat snacks all day. I the other day was like finishing up a run and people were like, Moss, what are you doing? I had just written a song about pizza and I was singing that in my head like I'm going home. Yeah. And did I go home and eat a whole pizza? I did. Am I ashamed of it? No. Okay. Snack game, super strong right now. You want to talk about, like, I've got a friend, AJ, we've got a whole group thread just for like the type of gummy filled sour candies. That just inspires me right now. That's spiritual. The second thing, more importantly, though, is friends. And you really know when you have good friends, okay, especially crew friends, when you sit down, you're, like, super gassed. You've been wandering around the woods by yourself for 8 hours. They've got, like, a little cooler set up. I'm closing my eyes. I'm literally envisioning this right now. It's amazing. And there's, like, a little camp chair, okay? And so I sit down. And you want to know what? Like, you know a true friend when he slides onto your foot a fresh pair of pre-Vaseline socks. Yeah. Oh, didn't know you were wearing your socks wrong. Okay. Yeah. They're supposed to be filled with that gooey jelly that slide them onto your feet. That's true friendship. Okay. That's the kind of degree of crew stuff I'm talking about. Like I've got skin falling off. I'm crying. Sometimes I'm happy. Sometimes I'm sad. He knows this. He's there for it. He's in it. The cool thing about the crew, right? It's just as much his day as it is mine. Okay. And so there have been times where it's like, I've been adamant about wanting to participate in that. Like, hold on, dude. And he's like, no, I'm putting your socks on. I'm like, okay. He's like, don't, I'm going to tie your shoes. I'm like, are you sure, man? He's like, yeah. And I go to like open a little pack of, I'm glad Chris isn't here either because now I feel it's awkward for him, but he does these things for me because he cares. I'll like go to open my own snacks and he's like, no. My snacks, I'll help you. And he loves it. And like we have these little note cards. He knows the questions to ask. I trust him if things are getting weird in the woods. And he's like, Moss, I think you should stop running and go home. I'll listen to him. It's this beautiful setup, right? And the thing is, like, anytime I try to intervene in that, it's like robbing him of his joy. He's chose to participate. He doesn't have to be there, right? He's like my support crew. He could go home and I would either find someone else or I'd stop these silly experiments with running that I've stumbled onto. And so I love that. And the cool thing is like he knows me in my darkest and in my highs. My lows are his lows and my highs are his highs. He's worried about me when I'm out there and he's celebrating for me when I come in. And so I want to start to connect these dots, right? You're like, I have no idea how Vaseline-filled socks and snacks have anything to do with Jesus. Me neither. Let's find out. So regularly I think, right? I think the reason God has to even in the first place say, come to me, all who are weary, like that's an obvious statement in some ways, right? Like if you're weary, wouldn't you not go to the God you proclaim as good, as truthful? But like the fact he has to say it means that we are essentially, to be blunt, dumb enough to need the reminder. Like he has to invite us because we haven't put ourselves there already. So he says to me, come to me, all you are weary. He invites us in, and that's amazing, first off, okay? We're constantly trying to navigate our own fear, our own doubt, our own anxiety, our own depression. And oftentimes, I don't know, maybe this is just me, and if it is, I'm fine just proclaiming this as my walk with the Lord, but like I feel like I try to sort those things out. I try to figure them out before I give them up to God. And that's really tricky because, again, he's literally told us, like, come to me. And he's literally invited us to take off whatever we're carrying. He'll carry it for a while and put on his yoke. And it's light and his burden is easy. Like, God's living the Hakuna Matata life. He really is. He's, like, not worried about a thing. And he wants to, like, just give us that for a second. Now I'm just thinking of Timon and Pumbaa, but you get it, right? Like, he wants us to be walking with him. We sing it, like, we talk about it, we're on a journey. We're so quick to say, like, yes, I'm on a spiritual journey. Yes, I'm figuring out my relationship with God. Yes, I'm doing these things. But, like, we are pretty hesitant as people, as human beings, to just give to God the things he's saying, like, give those things to me. Please, let me carry them. Do not worry. Like, I don't want, like, find rest for your soul. Not just, like, be happy for the afternoon. Like, find rest for your soul. That is thick, people. Like, wow. I just, like, I get excited at the thought of feeling that, but I am the same person that, like, prevents that from happening, okay? It's, like, the craziest thing. We are, like, and I know this is true of people, not just in spirituality, like, you've all done it. I'm not going to do like close your eyes and raise your hands. You've known that you're going to a dentist appointment and you go brush your teeth 4 times like that's going to help for the last 3 months. Like, no. Okay? God knows that you've been carrying these things around. And what do? We like polish depression. We polish anxiety. We polish fear. Insert whatever word you want here. We polish it up before we give it to God. Like, ugh, I would feel bad to like give you my depression, God. And so what do? We try to fix it ourselves first. Like they're ugly things. The things that burden us are disgusting. Like 2018, like for me especially, like, man, running through the woods for hours by yourself, you learn a lot about yourself. There were times I just like, I realized I was carrying depression I didn't know I had or was anxious about things that like were not my things to be anxious about. And I was carrying and carrying and carrying all this weight. And we say like, oh gosh, if only, right? Like in desperation, whoa, falling. If only we could like get rid of these things and we pray for it or whatever. And that's good. That's great. But like God literally just says like, here, come to me. Let me take it. Let me carry it for a while. And like the same side of the coin, because I can't stay in gloom and doom for too long. It's just not who I am. I got to get out of there. I think about the times I've just wanted to to celebrate, like to shout it from the mountains. I referenced the stage because I thought we just sang that song, but we cut all the poor and powerless. There's a verse in there that's like, so shout it from the mountains, go on and scream it from the rooftops, that whole thing, right? We like want to proclaim joy. But even that, I feel like there are some times that like by the time I say thank you to God for something good in my life, I've probably already annoyed my friends with it like 1,300 times. They're probably, yeah, Sadie's like, yeah. If I get excited about something, like you're getting a text, a snap, a phone call, Instagram DM, I'll tweet you. Like, and then by the end of it, I'm like, oh wait, like give this up to God. So like in Philippians, right, he's like, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So like either end, like if you are burdened and weary, he says like, cool, let me carry that for a while. I got you. And if you're experiencing joy and elation, like he also says, like, would you please like give that to me? Let that be my rejoicing. And I think it's because, especially with joy, I'm like, hey, man, I want that. That's my thing. But what he gives us, when we give him our joy, in return, it says, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. Like, God himself, when we give him up our joys, transcends into our being, like, and infuses us with his wisdom, his knowledge, his truth, and his love. And like, I just cannot stress that enough. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing in this world. I read it. It's like one of the verses. I didn't even put it in here because it like, I don't know how to digest it, where it's like, be in constant prayer, right? It just talks about like, pray without ceasing. I'm just like, but occasionally like, I don't know. I'm going to zone out. Like, I can't focus for 10 minutes. Like, you think I could pray without ceasing for the entire, but I think like that is backed by, right? That is supported by this idea of like in burden and in trials and in tribulations, like God has said, like, I am here to carry those things for you. And in joy, God has said, like, I have created these joys in your lives. It's because of me that these joys exist. And so just like, give me the at, right? Shout out to Big G God. And then like he will transcend into our lives. I hope that's a handle. If it's not, I'm dibs. I don't want it actually. Yeah, that's some Bruce Almighty stuff. Anyway, see again, I wander. And then the point being is like, we need to give those things up to the Lord. And so that's just my prayer tonight. I mean, pain is real and it sucks. I wish I could say that like, hey, you all, here's a quick sermon, give it up to God. And like, snap of the fingers, it worked like that. But I even like preaching it, those are words that I need to remind myself like daily, if not every second. Okay, pain is real and it sucks. And happiness, I believe, is only real when it's shared. To be happy by yourself, it fades quick, right? And so it's in that way that we are created for community. And so my last kind of like the draw, if you'll let me stretch it this far, please do. I think it's amazing that when we abide in the Lord and like when we're joyful and we acknowledge that the Lord is good. So when we're stressed and we abide in him and like when we're rejoicing, we first go to him. It's amazing that like, then God becomes essentially like the filter, or better yet, the gateway to our community. Like we process our burdens first with God, and then he gives us people, he gives us support, right? He gives us friends, he gives us family, but like we process that through God. We do not have to put a bow on it before we give it to God. We can say, here is my crap, take it. I do not want it. It's really making me angry. It's hurting my back. I'm crying too much. Haven't slept in days and I'm hungry. And he's like, perfect. So that by the time you get to process that with community, like it's not burdening you. You can think through it. You're not in a manic state of panic or confusion or frustration or anger. You still are probably experiencing those things, but they've been filtered through God's gateway. And in the same way, like you are so quick to remind others that the joy you are experiencing is from the Lord because you checked in with him first. You treated God as a gateway to your community. And so again, Jen hinted on it. Again, it's been large language here at the Well for my entire time here, if not the last 7 years, the last 15, the last 20, like as long as the Well's been around, it's been a community of people celebrating Jesus Christ on this campus. And so in order to do that, like I implore you this week, right, to do a better job about just like, don't unpack it yourself. If it's literally bothering you, even in the slightest, give it up to God. And if it's worth celebrating, if you are like, this is so good, thank God for it, and then like share it through the lens, through the light of the goodness of God. I'm going to invite the band back up, and as I do, I'm just going to talk about some of my friends real quick. Some of my friends who aren't Christians, they hear this, and they say, what do you mean, Jake? Like, if it's bad, give it up to God. If it's good, thank God. Browns lose, don't blame God. Browns win, amen, God. Like, it feels like this cheap thing, right? Like, I'll say it, like, let's get a win, right? But, like, the point is, I don't care if that's cheap. Like, I don't care. The point is that, like, I'm recognizing the goodness of the Lord and his provision in my life, right? And so when people say to me, like, if it's bad, give it up to God. If it's good, give it up to God. Like, what if it's okay? Like, you can hold on to it. Like, no, here you go, God. Like, and what does that make us then? Like, I hope that instead of, like, these, like, shells of beings, like, just kind of lifeless and voidless, like, I hope it makes us vessels, right? That's language that we sing sometimes. I hope that, like, in clearing out ourselves, like, we're only making room for God to come and fill us fuller. And again, that's, like, a very literal understanding of that, like, the thought of just, like, getting all of me out of me so that God can be in me. But that's my prayer for us, right? That's exciting, and I hope that, like, as you all this year experience the Well, you believe that God is in it. You believe that God is living in and through you, that you can be the support crew to some of your people as you look around. Like, you are that support crew. You are that team, and your friends' ups and downs are your ups and downs, and you're going through that with them. But I hope you are encouraged at the thought of again, giving those things to God, the good and the bad, the ugly, the cute, the clean, and the messy. And I pray that together, like, that starts to inspire action. That's my big thing, that like God in and through us will inspire action. So I'm going to pray. We're going to get back into worship. There's going to be some people up here tonight, Well leaders, that are going to pray for you. My hope is that if you have anything you want to give up to the Lord, you let them help you offload it. If you've experienced something dope this week, like make some noise with them and celebrate it. If you're one of those people who are like, I feel like I should do that, but I'm not going to, I hope someone looks at you and soul eyeballs your soul and then walks over and prays for you. I don't care if you're uncomfortable. That's fine with me. So, I'm going to set them free to do that. And my prayer is that in community right now, we can just remember to celebrate the Lord and give our burdens up to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much. God, you are so, so good. Your love is amazing. Your truth is amazing. God, the fact that you sent your son to be with us and that you invite us as lost and broken as we are to be in community with you. Not only to be in community, but to take the things that separate us from you and carry them on your back for a while. And in return, give us a light yoke and an easy burden. God, we say thank you. And in those moments of joy, God, I pray that we become a people who unabashedly rejoice. Without hesitation, we proclaim your greatness and your goodness. And we say yes to the things you do for us. That every good thing we experience and feel and see, we know is rooted in you, God. And that together as a community of believers that we begin to celebrate so loud that people start asking questions. That people see the party we're throwing because of you and they want to be a part of it, God. We invite you into our hearts and into our lives, and we're excited for the ways that you're going to continue to move. Amen.